This week's letter comes to us from Little Veronica. Little Veronica writes, "Dear George G., how do I profit from a market crash? What do I do?" That's a great question, Little Veronica. Thanks for taking the time to write in. I appreciate it. And whether or not this is on your mind right now, or if you are wise enough to realize that it's going to be on your mind at some point in the future, because the stock market goes up and the stock market goes down, I do not know when it's going to do any of those things. So the idea is, how do I position myself for success regardless of what is going to be coming my way, regardless of what the market's going to be doing? I will be ready and able to pivot or make the right call or make new investments or get out, whatever it might be. Daniel Kahneman, goes by Danny, very famous psychologist who won the Nobel Prize in Economics. One of his seminal works is called, or book called, Thinking Fast and Slow. And Danny became fascinated with why it is that we make decisions around money the way that we make them. And so he dove into the research. And one of the key takeaways was that 90% of the decisions we make around money are based on emotion. So let that wash over you. Do you think that that's true for you? I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, well, there's no way that that's true. There's no way that 90% of the decisions I make around money are based on emotion. And I thought about it a little bit more. I was like, oh, yeah. Totally. Most everything I do is based on how I feel about certain things. And the idea here is that once we become aware of the power that our emotions and our feelings have on our decision making and our actions, then we can move away from the impulse to make a decision based on those feelings and move towards more of a logical, rational approach. So I feel this. We're not trying to get rid of those feelings. Let it wash over you, feel the feeling, and then recognize, okay, yeah, I feel like selling all of my positions, but I appreciate that I've got a lot of time. And I think that these are high quality investments. And so instead of selling, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do nothing. I'm just going to wait, potentially even buy more. But I'm certainly not going to allow my emotions to have me make an imprudent or just a dumb financial decision. Because that's one thing we want to avoid doing, is blowing ourselves up. I think Warren Buffett, he said, rule number one with investing is don't lose money. So how do you lose money in the stock market? Let's have a quick conversation about that. How do you actually lose money? Because when the stock market goes down, or if you own shares of Google and Google does down 40%, did you lose money? Well, no, the value of your investment has gone down, but you haven't lost money because you didn't sell your shares in Google, just to keep using Google as an example. If Google's share went down 40% and you sold, well, then you lost 40% of your money. But if you felt like selling, but you didn't, you said, you know what, I know that Google's a really good company and it just got taken down because the overall stock market went down, but I know that it's fundamentally a sound, good company, and you waited and it went back up, well, then you didn't lose any money. So it's an interesting perspective. The only way you lose money in most every investment is if you sell when it goes down. While I have no idea what's going to happen with the stock market in the future, or if an individual company is going to go out of business, because it's possible it could, they have, see Enron. But odds are, if you're invested in great companies, they're going to recover and you're not going to end up losing any money. We all intellectually understand one of the really core tenets of investing is you're supposed to buy when things are low and sell when things are high. Makes sense intellectually. But what do we want to do? We want to do the opposite. When things are really high, that's what I want to buy because I'm missing out. Like, oh my gosh, Bitcoin's at $100,000 a Bitcoin. Now I want to buy. But when it was at 15, not that long ago, you didn't want to buy at all. See that? It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. And then you realize that the pain of loss is twice as powerful as the potential or the happiness that we get from making money or from gain. The thought of losing $100 hurts twice as much as finding a $100 bill on the ground. So, totally makes sense. Now, let's take this one step further, that the part of our brain that actually responds to financial loss or potential financial loss. It's the same part of our brain that responds to mortal danger. So when you're walking down a dark alleyway in the middle of the night, which you shouldn't do, just don't do that. Little Veronica, this is a good lesson for you. Thanks again for writing the letter. Don't walk around dark alleys at nighttime. But if you find yourself in that position and you hear footsteps behind you, that visceral reaction your body will experience of get out of here, well, that's the same part of your brain that responds when you open up your account and you see that your 401k balance is down 40%. You want to sell everything and escape. But again, intellectually, we understand that's not the right thing for me to do, especially with my 401k, because that's such long-term money. I'm saving that money for when I'm retired, for goodness sakes. And for many of us, that's going to be hopefully happen, but hopefully a long ways away. So we have plenty of time. So just understand, this is how our brain works. The more we understand it, then the more we can overcome irrational, emotional decision-making. Okay, so just to prime ourselves, we have to make sure that we are properly invested. So we're invested in the right things. So we have to understand what kind of investor that I am. How tolerant am I of market fluctuations? So we have to figure out what's called a risk tolerance. So how much risk am I willing to tolerate? And it's common to think that a young person has a really high risk tolerance, which means we're okay with a lot of risk. And it's common that an older person has a lower risk tolerance. So they're less comfortable with market fluctuation and risk. But that doesn't mean it's true. It may be true for you, but you may be a young person who doesn't want to tolerate any risk at all. And you see a 5% swing, you're like, no thanks. I just want to make sure that all my money is going to be there. So the truth might be somewhere in the middle for you, but you take what's called a risk tolerance profile. It's a quiz, and it'll tell you, are you a conservative investor? Are you aggressive? Are you moderate? Or somewhere on that continuum? And the idea is that you're going to figure out where you are, and then you keep tracking that over time, because if you're new to investing, you may want to be more conservative, or you might be more aggressive. And the more you learn and the more you do it, your risk tolerance might shift. The kind of investor you are might shift. The things that you're interested in investing in will probably also shift. So once you know what kind of investor you are, then you want to create, or rather get the right mix of different investments. And that's called asset allocation. So I want to have stocks, I want to have bonds, I want to have real estate, I want to have crypto and the percentages and all of that. That mix of investment is called your asset allocation. Okay. So pretty interesting, fairly basic, but these are important things. So then we need to figure out, am I invested properly? Number one, am I invested in really high quality investments? And am I invested in the right kinds of accounts? Am I well diversified? These are really important questions to dig into. So a company like Google, we'll just stick with that, is a very, very, very established, large, great big company that has a lot of good things going for it. They've got immense, they have a huge, wonderful track record. They've got it's just a high quality company. And then on the other end of that spectrum are really small startup companies. And it's very attractive potentially to invest in a small startup because the potential for gain is really, really high. Is Google's share price going to double? At some point it might, but it will take a lot to do that. But if you're investing in a stock that costs $5 a share, well, that can easily double. But it could also easily go to zero. So we want to make sure that we are invested properly, that we have the right kinds of investments, that they're high quality. So when the market does crash or have some kind of a correction, meaning it goes down, and you're looking at your investments, you're like, oh, should I keep these? Should I hang on? Well, if you have good, high quality investments, you should probably hang on. And again, I'm not advocating that you sell anything during a market correction or a crash, because it's better just to sit on the sidelines and wait and observe and watch than it is to take immediate action, because there's a lot of information always coming in about the markets and we don't know necessarily why it is that they're acting the way that they are acting. But you want to make sure that you have really high quality investments. I advocate that you give yourself permission to be more aggressive. Now, what does that mean? That means that I want you to understand what your ultimate goals and objectives are for your saving and investing. You need to have money today. You need money 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, maybe even 60 or 100 years from now. depending on how long you expect to live. So you need to take that time horizon into consideration. So if you're talking about your long-term investments, you're talking about your mid-term investments, I advocate that you take a very, very well-diversified approach with low-cost passive investments. So let's just use retirement as an example, and we can use me. So I'm 46. Let's pretend I'm 45, and let's pretend that I'm going to retire at 65. So I've got 20 years. So I say, okay, I want to have $1 million in my 401k when I turn 65. I'm 45 today. I need to be saving $1,000 a month. And if I do that into my 401k, I'm investing $1,000 a month, and I get an 8% rate of return over the next 20 years, then I'm going to get the result that I'm looking for. Now, these are obviously made up numbers, but you get the idea. Okay. So I'm not saying I need to have $1 million saved up. What I am saying or advocating that you consider is you understand how much money you need to meet your goal, and that you are then executing on that plan on a monthly basis to get there. And I advocate that you use low cost, high quality, well diversified investments like mutual funds or exchange traded funds. And those are most commonly the most common investments that you find inside of your 401k. So what you've done is you've set your foundation. You are executing your plan, and things go the way that you expect them to, you will realize or get the result that you're looking for. That I talk about being your permission slip. You remember permission slips when you were a kid? You needed a hall pass, you needed a permission slip to be late or skip school or get out of there early or whatever. You showed up with a note from your mom or your dad or whoever, or the note that you wrote on your way into school and try to pass off your mom's signature as your own. Not that you'd have ever done that, but that's permission slip. So you've given yourself permission to be more aggressive and to take more concentrated positions with your investing. Okay, so you've got low-cost ETFs, low-cost mutual funds funding a lot of your biggest financial priorities like retirement. Then you say, great, I'm on track to reach the level of financial success that I desire and look for, but I still have some money left over and I want to be investing. This is when you could take more concentrated approach or more concentrated positions in different investments. Like you can start buying individual stocks. You could start buying Bitcoin. You could start being more speculative. You can start doing things like options, whatever it might be. What I caution you against doing is inverting that. I don't want you to just be buying individual stocks, certainly not inexpensive or penny stocks, before you take that long-term, passive, well-diversified approach to your investing. Okay, so that is what I advocate that you do. Invest in high-quality things. Make sure that you have a plan and that you are executing that plan and you are on track to meet slash exceed your most important financial goals and objectives. When you've done that, you've given yourself permission. Let it rip. Let's go. Let's try to get rich. Let's take some super concentrated positions and take some big swings. Awesome. Do that. So I touched on this already, but we have to have the right time horizon. I need money today, tomorrow, 50 years from now. So have to have cash on hand. Call it your emergency fund. I got tired of talking about emergency funds all the time during COVID, so I started saying cash on hand. How much cash on hand do you think that you need? Well, some people say, 2 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months worth of your monthly expenses. I advocate for 6 months. So not easy. In fact, really hard, because that's a lot of money, I know. And I advocate that you have that money in cash. Just cash. Don't invest it. Resist the impulse to do that. Opportunity cost, George. Aren't I missing out on opportunities? Well, yes, you 100% are. You 100% are. But the thing is, the last thing that I want for you or for me or for anybody is to have an emergency and then to go get your money or attempt to get your money only to discover that it's now half because of a market event. So if you have your emergency fund invested in the stock market or Bitcoin or whatever, it goes down, you're really hurting yourself because this money is here for emergencies, not to take not to put at risk in different investments. Now, the good news is that you can get a pretty good rate of return on a savings account or a money market account these days. So if you really want to have it invested, great, put it in a savings account. That's where it ought to be. Not invested, but in a high interest environment like a savings account or a money market account where the money's still very liquid. So you have to have access to this money. And when we're talking about an emergency fund, I want you to be able to go get that money today. And I also don't want market conditions to lower your emergency fund or anything like that. And then again, so short term is 0 to 3 years, midterm is 4 to 10, long term is 10 years plus. So now let's talk about making money, actually making money during a market crash or a bull market, some kind of a market correction. These are just all the same terms for the stock market went down. Normally it goes like this. The market crashes, it goes down. Like falling off a cliff, kind of down. Scary stuff, blood in the streets, all of this stuff. Well, if you're able to buy, now's the time. Now is the time. Do I know when the bottom is? No. During 2008, the 2008 financial collapse, the Great Recession, people were always trying to find the bottom. I remember watching the talking heads on money shows, which in a lot of ways is like ESPN because they have the need for 24/7 content and people talking about the same stuff in different ways, which to a degree I do the same things, but I am not by any means giving you individual stock tips or hot tips. I'm working to help you understand how to position yourself for long-term success. So there's this concept called dry powder, and it's just as it sounds, which doesn't really make any sense. Dry powder means you need to have dry gunpowder. Okay? When your powder's wet, it doesn't work. Dry powder in the context of investing means you have cash. You've got cash reserves sitting there, and this is money that's different from your emergency fund. This is cash that is, or investments that are liquid that you can then allocate into the stock market or the real estate market for that matter. 2008 also had tons of real estate crash. The housing market just exploded. People were buying single family homes for thousands of dollars. So that's how you get super rich, is if during a market crash, you have cash, you can then utilize your dry powder and go and buy things on sale. Again, we're supposed to buy when things are low and sell when things are high. We don't want to twist those up. So you got your dry powder. You've got 10 grand, 20 grand, $100,000, $1,000, whatever. And your favorite stock, your favorite mutual fund, the S&P 500, is down 5, 10, 20, 30%. Wow. Well, if it's a high quality company, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure it's going to return to around the price that it was before the crash. When will it do that? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not trying to time the market. What I'm doing is I am recognizing that there is an opportunity where this is a high, what I believe to be and perceive to be a high quality investment that because of overall market conditions, not necessarily because of a fundamental problem with this organization, the stock price goes down. And that then gives me the opportunity to buy it in a way that I believe is on sale. It's called value. Essentially what value investing is you're looking around and you see a stock or a company that you believe to be a great buy. If you would buy Amazon at 100, you certainly want to buy Amazon at 50, which really brings me to another also pretty interesting from my perspective thought conversation or exercise. And it says this, in terms of your retirement, we'll go back to me again, 45, going to retire at 65. Would I rather have the stock market be great for the next 20 years? Or would I rather have the stock market be crap for the next 20 years? What do you think? Well, I'd rather have it be crap. Why? Well, let's just use Amazon now. If I could buy Amazon at $5 a share for the next 20 years, and then when I go to retire in year 21, The only then I want the stock price to go up to 50 or 200 or $1,000. So what happened? Well, I bought it for $5 a share for 20 years. And then when I go to sell it, because I'm interested in retiring and cashing out, it's up at $1,000 a share. Well, obviously, that's good news for me. Right? So it's interesting to think in terms of my retirement, where my time horizon is really long, I'd rather have the market be bad. For my midterm investments, some of my short-term investments, I don't want the stock market to be bad for 20 years because I intend to invest in this thing and sell and hopefully make gains or make profit on some of these investments. But just an interesting thought exercise, which goes back to reinforce the idea that I want to buy low and sell high. So here we are. Are we at the bottom? Is this going to be a stock market crash or is it just going to be a minor correction? I have no idea. I don't pretend to have the answer to those questions. So I apologize. I'm not even going to try to guess. But what I am interested in doing is helping you to position you for success. So if you have dry powder this time, awesome. Look for opportunities to buy. If you don't have dry powder this time, well, I want you to get ready for the next time so you don't miss out on a wonderful buying opportunity. Is the stock market going to have another correction anytime soon? Well, I don't know about soon, but it will. It's not a question of if, it is a question of when. And if you know the answer to that question, well, you're going to become a really successful investor. But for the rest of us who don't have crystal balls, and I can't see into the future to be able to tell you what the market's going to be doing 10 years from now or 20 years from now, I want to have dry powder so that I'm positioned for success. So let's do a quick recap. What I want you to do is get an emergency fund saved up 6 months. Really hard. Not saying it's easy. What I want you to do is get your credit card debt paid off. Credit card debt's awful. It crushes us. And then what I want you to do is to make your plan, start executing your plan for saving and investing with low-cost index investments. Once you've done that and you are on track to meet or exceed those objectives, then you're in position to start making some more aggressive bets, not quite as diversified and more concentrated short-term, or rather, individual stocks, cryptocurrency, whatever it is that you're interested in doing. And you could take a similar approach to this with real estate. I'm agnostic. It's just that when we're having a stock market correction, I want people to be positioned for success. And that's really what it's all about, just putting ourselves in position. And then we let the chips fall where they may. So thank you, little Veronica, for the thoughtful letter. Hopefully you found value in today's you found value in what I've just been talking about. Recognize that we all have emotions and feelings when it comes to our investing, and they're not to be avoided. They're to be understood. And then we want to behave in a way that is aligned with what I've been talking about today. So, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody as interested in your financial success as you are. So, dear listener, act accordingly.